Good morning, church.
Morning.
How's everybody? If you love Jesus, give me a yeah! That's in the Bible. You didn't know that was in there, did you? Yeah. Some more Greek for you. Y'all write this stuff down. Just trying to help you. We should enter his gates with thanksgiving. Yes. And with praise and joy, no matter what's going on in our week, he loves us. He's with us. Let's invite him, invite his spirit this day. Should we do that? Pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, that because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. We trust you. We love you. We thank you that you love us first and best. May we come with the sacrifice of praise this morning. Send your Holy Spirit into this place. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus, in the precious name above all names. Amen. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. If you'll rise, if you are able, as we worship.
God sent his son.
Bye. says, you go out and you watch what I can do. Just see what I can do. I know what I can do. But you and I have to trust that He will take care of whatever situation you have in your heart. Do you need healing? Give it to the Lord. Your child's not listening? Give it to the Lord. You've got a disobedient husband? Give it to the Lord. You've got a disobedient wife?
our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause. When he comes around, things change. Church, we pray that his spirit moves mighty in this place this morning. As we invite the children forward for your children's message, the rest of you, I invite you to be seated.
Welcome. Oh, all right. So this week I've been thinking about Thanksgiving. It's coming up, right? And I'm here like, all right, I am thankful for so many things. And I thought, God is so, so generous. It'll be another week, a little bit over a week, okay? But anyways, I got thinking how generous God is to us. And that made me think of a story I heard. And it was about a woman who had nothing. One moment. Absolutely nothing. And so God gave her 3 apples. He gave her 3 apples. He did. And so she was hungry, so she ate. Yes, she ate the red apples. She did. But God is so generous, that wasn't all he gave her. He gave her 3 more apples. And with those 3 apples, she decided she'd take them and she'd trade them in for some clothes. So she traded her 3 apples in for clothes. Oh, but God is so generous that he was not done yet. He then gave 3 more apples. And what she did with these 3 apples was she said, I need some shelter. I need to be able to get in out of the rain when it's raining. I need to be able to get out of the snow if it's snowing. And if it's too hot, I need to get out of the sun. So she got some shelter. Oh, God is so, so generous. But he was not done. Yeah. He gave her 1 more apple. Yeah, I know, 1 more apple, but he gave this one for a very, it is a lot. And he gave her this last one for a specific reason. This last one, he wanted her to take this last one and give it back to him in thanks, to say, thank you, God, for your generosity and being so good to me. But there's a problem. This lady, she looked at that apple, and she thought, oh my goodness, that looks good. It looks red. It looks crunchy. Do you know what she did?
She
started eating it. She bit right into it, and she ate it down to the core. To the core, she did. Look at it. Yeah, it used to be a whole apple. And then she gave this to the Lord. She said, like, Lord, you can have that, and gave that to the Lord. What do you think of that? What do you think of the lady doing that with that last apple? What's your thoughts?
She ate it.
She ate it. Do you think that was the right thing to do?
No.
No?
That real apple.
Yeah.
That wasn't the bag.
It was in the bag. That's right. Do you think it was the right thing to do? Was that the fair thing to do after God had given her all those other apples? Was it fair for her to not give just the one right back to God?
No.
No. I'm going to read to you out of Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, where it says, a tithe, and a tithe is given back to God. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So when God gives us stuff and then we say thank you and give him some of it back again, he considers that holy. And then he uses that. He wants to give to us and he wants us to be so thankful that we give some of it back to him. Does that sound fair?
Yep.
It does, doesn't it? Let's bow our heads. Lord, please help us remember to be thankful to you for all you give to us. May we honor you by giving a portion of what we have back to you as it is considered holy. In Jesus' most powerful name, amen.
Good morning. Yes, you read out of Leviticus. In my daily Bible reading, I've been in Leviticus for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and man, I've been praying, God, just help me get out of Leviticus. I mean, it's just a hard book. It's an important book, but it's a tough one. So, well, good to see you. Good to have you worshiping with us online. I want to encourage you to check into this service, either the online service or the late service through the app. This week, or starting tomorrow, is Operation Christmas Child Collection Week. And so if you have packed your shoe boxes, you can bring them this week. You can actually bring it next Sunday because the last day of collection day is next Monday. And so I sent out a schedule, an email schedule, this past week. Also, there's a schedule that's in the app. But essentially, the collection times are every afternoon. This week, there's a different stopping time each day. And then next Saturday morning, late morning and early afternoon, those are collection times. Also next Sunday, early afternoon, and then next Monday afternoon. So continue to pack those. There's still opportunities to give to this ministry, also opportunities to pack a shoebox online. And you can find the links to those things on our app or on the website. Turkey Tuesday, excuse me, is next Tuesday, the 21st. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's an outreach ministry that we do every week. We pass out 275, where we buy 275 turkeys to gift to other people. 150 of those go to the Carver neighborhood, and the other balance of those goes to either the Methodist Food Pantry or several other smaller churches in our community. So you see the insert in the bulletin, the turkeys this year are about $20 a piece. So if you can help us offset that cost, that would be awesome. It's a great opportunity for us to bless others with a meal during this season. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Well, yesterday was Veterans Day, and we want to honor our veterans this morning and pray for you and pray for those in the military. So if you are a veteran, if you don't mind, would you please stand so we can and be recognized so we can honor you. God bless you men and women for your service. And also, if you are active military, I don't know if we have anybody here this morning. Several of us maybe. If you don't mind standing as well, we just want to thank you for your service. Thank you, guys. So I want to pray this morning. I want to pray for a blessing on our veterans. You know, some of them are struggling mightily. And so, man, the enemy is just a liar, and he wreaks havoc on those who strive to do good and strive to do well. And so I want to pray for those. I want to pray for our military and for safety for them. There's some hot spots around the world. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I invite you to join me as I pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for, first of all, the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. In whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And there may be some people this morning who are not experiencing the freedom that you, Jesus, won for us on the cross. So, Father, I just pray that freedom break out into this place. That people know without a doubt that they don't have to be bound up with struggles. They don't have to be discouraged. They don't have to be depressed. They don't have to be anxious. They don't have to keep giving into that favorite sin. There's freedom from that. And Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you for the spiritual freedom that we have. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk in that. Lord, I just thank you for those who have served our country faithfully. I just thank you for the freedom that they have fought for and continue to fight for. I just thank you for their dedication. I thank you for those men and women here this morning, Lord. Just bless them. I pray for those veterans who are struggling to reintegrate into society. Lord, there's just some disconnect there, and God, they just seem to can't seem to make it work. And so, Lord, I just pray for supernatural visitations this day from you, God. Just help them to sort that out. Father, just touch them miraculously or send them to someone that can help them walk through those issues. Lord, I just thank you for our veterans. I thank you for what they've done in regard to freedom for this nation. And Lord, I pray for our active military personnel. Lord, I just pray for safety for them. It's almost like globally there's a target on their back. And so, Father, I just pray, God, you protect them. I pray for supernatural wisdom for the leadership as they navigate things in the Middle East and in other hot spots around the world. Lord, I just thank you for the weaponry that you've allowed our country to develop. But Father, at the end of the day, our protection comes from you. We don't trust in horses. We don't trust in chariots. We trust in God Almighty for protection. So Lord, would you provide that? Would you provide that? Father, as we continue to engage with the Holy Spirit this morning, I pray that this is a significant day as we rest in you, that you rest on us. Father, I pray for those who just can't seem to connect with you this morning. There's this distance there. There's this barrier there. Lord, I just pray that is removed and broken down this day. And Lord, as a church corporately, God, I pray that you fill us individually with the Holy Spirit, but I pray that you fill us corporately with the Holy Spirit so that our unity runs so deep, Father, that we love each other better so we can love our neighbors better, love the world better. So, Father, touch us this morning for your glory. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. The Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to remind you of giving options. They were on the screen, but you know what they are. There we go. Thank you, Ben. Also, we have offering boxes by the doors. And in church, let's engage the Lord this morning. We have opportunities to do that. So I want to invite you to stand as we continue to worship.
Thank you.
go into this next song, I wanted to read a couple of paragraphs here to you. A few days before Christmas, a couple of years ago, Jonathan Helser, who is a worship leader with Bethel Church, received a text from his friend, Joel and Janie Taylor, that their son, Jackson, was in critical condition, 5 years old, and they didn't think that he would make it. As soon as I got the text, he said, I felt like this giant of unbelief stood in front of me. Jonathan Helser said, I thought Jackson's going to die tonight, and we're not going to see a miracle. But something indescribable happened to the Helsers while they were praying for a miracle. A song suddenly came out of their mouths, and they started to sing a powerful declaration against the giant Jackson was facing. This song came pouring out through the Holy Spirit. Let's sing it like we believe it.
Hallelujah.
By the way, little Jackson Taylor was 5 years old when that song was written. And by the way, he's about seven now. Pull that up there. That's Jackson. Now, you can't really tell it too well from there, but he's sitting on his dad's shoulders in a worship service when they sang that song in public worship for the very first time. Man, God is good to us, isn't he? If you are our guest this morning, we're really glad you're here. We hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, the love of his people. We hope you feel his Holy Spirit. If you are our guest, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you at the end of the foyer down here after the service and have a free gift for our guests. Just in case you hadn't heard, we baptized two this morning in the early service. AJ and Drew Barnes got baptized. We're excited about that. Got some more baptisms that are on the calendar that are coming up. God is at work, church. Did you know that? Even within the chaos of our world, God is still on the throne. God is at work, moving hearts. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. I love me some Romans. Anybody else love me some Romans? Romans chapter 8, Apostle Paul penned these words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, beginning in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to your prayer time. I don't know why I said that, Billy. We've already turned. So would you join me in prayer? Is this on? Anybody out there? All right, I'm going to wake up here. Let's pray. Father, send your Holy Spirit. We know you're here. We feel you. We have your promises that you are here. We need to hear from you. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So continuing the sermon series, Dear God, asking some tough questions. Dear God, today's message is, if you are loving, why do bad things happen? Anybody ever heard that question before? Anybody ever had that question before, perhaps? Why do bad things happen? And maybe even more to the point, God, why do you let bad things happen? You know, this what we just read out of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. And most of you kind of know Paul's story. We've talked about Paul a lot. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He was a Jew and thought he was doing a service to persecute Christians. He had a personal encounter with the resurrected Christ. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9. And he was God's chosen man to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. So if we are believers in Christ and non-Jewish believers in Christ, we would be through the lineage of the message from Paul. He was Paul's guy. I mean, he was God's guy. And he approximately half of the New Testament is attributed to Paul. I'm going to read down through the books. Most theologians would agree these were written by Paul. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. So Paul was a busy guy. He was God's guy. And yet God had blessed him and had changed his life and had appointed him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and yet Paul suffered intensely in his life. You can read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but let me give you the list. These are Paul's list. He was in prison, flogged, exposed to death, received 40 lashes minus one five times. That's the Jews were allowed to whip someone up to 40 times. If they went over 40 times, the executioner themselves could be put to death, so they would do 40 lashes minus one, just to make sure in case I miscounted. He succumbed to that five times, beaten with rods three times. He was stoned, left for dead. He was shipwrecked three times. He was stranded in the open sea, constantly on the move, in danger from rivers, bandits, in danger from Jews and Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the... He was in danger, guys. He was in danger in the country, at sea. He was in danger from false brothers. He labored and toiled. He went without sleep. He knew hunger and thirst. He'd been cold and naked. He faced daily the pressure of concern for all the churches. That's Paul's list of how he suffered. Now, anybody suffer more than Paul in the room? That's a pretty big list. And yet, so I guess the question I have is, God, why would you allow Paul to suffer? Like, first, we might even back up even further. Why would you let your very own son suffer? Okay, we'll get there in a minute. But why would you let Paul? Paul's your guy. You've appointed him to... You would think that you'd make smooth sailing for Paul. You'd open the doors wide and everybody would welcome him in because he's got the gospel to share. But that's not the way it went down. Why, God, would you let Paul suffer so much? Did Paul... And what was Paul's response to the suffering? Did he complain? And I was telling the early service, sometimes I can be a whiner. Is there any other whiners in the group? I see a couple of brave hands going up. Sometimes I can be a whiner. Paul didn't complain. Listen to what he said in Philippians 4:12. Paul said, I've learned, that's a pretty important word, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. How do you think he learned? Through the good times or perhaps through these struggles? I've learned to be the secret of being content in any and every situation. So we're going to try to answer that question. Why, Lord, if you're loving, why do bad things happen? First thing, bad things happen because our world is broken and so are we. You know, I know that may sound real simple, but God in His love for us gave us a special gift. He gave us life, but then He gave us choice. He gave us choice. If you look all the way back, and you can read about this in Genesis chapter 3, when original sin came into the picture, He told Adam and Eve, you got the run of the place, and He gave them one thing that they weren't to do, but everything else they could do, and they were in paradise, and He gave them the choice to remain obedient to Him or to rebel against Him and go their own way. And guess what they did? And guess what you and I do? Our world is broken and so are we. Romans 3 says, most of us have sinned. I'm just making sure you're still awake. No, it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not most, not some, not a lot. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there is no one right. I mean, Paul in Romans, he makes it fairly clear. There's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Man, that's not real encouraging, is it? And yet, in the midst of that, while we were yet sinners, while we were this broken vessel, Christ came and died for us because He loves us. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world, and we are broken. So it's not just the world out there and everybody else. We're broken, and the world is broken. Bad things happen in this world. Many of you have experienced some of this. Loved ones die. Sometimes it's kind of, we kind of have this order that it's supposed to be. You know, we bury our grandparents, and then it's the parents' turn, and then it's the children's turn, and we have this order, but it doesn't always play out like that. People die. Tornadoes can devastate homes and lives. Car accidents happen. Sometimes people hurt us. Sometimes people hurt people we love. Sometimes people get cancer. And one that my family is very aware of is sometimes gas pipelines explode. We live in a broken world. When Jay was killed, I remember I was telling the early service, y'all have heard me say this before, but we were about 3 weeks later would have been his birthday, and we were out at his place and trying to gather together as a family and just kind of get through it. And I remember looking around his place. And did you know, by the way, when we leave this world, we leave everything behind. Did you know that? I don't know if anybody knew that. But I looked around, and there was his house, and there was his shop, and there was his tractor, and there was his horse, and there was his dogs, and his guitars, and all these things that Jay loved, and it was all there. And I remember I just kind of walked out away from the rest of the crew, and I just went out there, and I leaned up against the fence, and I'm looking around at stuff, and I'm just hurting. And I remember just telling the Lord, man, Lord, this hurts so bad. And I remember the Lord penetrating my heart with this: what you're feeling right now, there's hurting people like that everywhere. When you go to the grocery store, you're walking by probably hurting people. When you go to the bank, you're in line with hurting people. When you pass someone on the street, some may have just cut you off in traffic. You're driving with hurting people. Have people that I know have suffered great tragedy, and people not knowing that, and they go back into the workforce, and people not really knowing what the loss that person has had, are mean to them, treat them badly, and I hear about those instances, and I just want to go and just put my arm around those people and go, you have no idea what this person is going through right now. You have no idea the hurt that they're having right now. There's hurting people everywhere. Bad things happen in this world because it's broken and we're broken. Sometimes the brokenness is, the bad things that we can experience, sometimes are self-imposed. But many times it's just life. It's just hard. Jesus didn't mess around with this. He said, you're going to have trouble in this world. Because it's broken, it's hard, it's difficult. You're going to have loss. But I've overcome the world. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will walk with you, he says, through those trials. Bad things happen because our world is broken, and so are we. Secondly, bad things happen many times because God is equipping us for his purposes. God is equipping us for his purposes. I don't know, perhaps I'm the only one, but as I look at my life, the times that I have really grown in my faith and I've really grown closer to the Lord have not been the good times. They've been the struggles. They've been the difficult times. And I have felt his presence all the more when I'm going through those difficult times, because truly, he has never left me or forsaken me. James 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trial. Not because of the trials, but in the trials. Consider it joy because God is at work. When you face these trials, he said, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God is molding us, and I've used this example before, but if you can picture a workbench, and Ephesians 2 says it this way, we are God's workmanship, we're his masterpiece, and there's this workbench, and God doesn't grab us by the nape of the neck and throw us on his workbench and go to work. He invites us. Come, I want to make something beautiful out of you. I want to create something in you for my purposes. And if we lay ourselves on his workbench, he goes to work. We are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to get our ticket to heaven. Anybody listening? That's not what it says. What does it say? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. He wants us to do something, to demonstrate our faith. He's prepared those things in advance for us. The problem with the workbench scenario is we have legs. And we can walk off the workbench anytime we want to. God doesn't tie us down. He wants to make something beautiful out of us. But we have to place ourselves on his workbench. If you want to, one of my favorite Old Testament stories is the story of Joseph. And I'm going to, man, it's covers from like Genesis 37 through 50. I encourage you to read about Joseph. But I'm going to kind of paraphrase. Joseph was Jacob's son. He had 12 sons, and he was not only one of his sons, he was his favorite. And he made, you've heard him, the coat of many colors, this beautiful coat that Jacob made for Joseph. And the other 11 brothers, they didn't like that so much. Joseph was getting all the attention. They knew he was the favorite. And then Joseph had a couple of dreams where the other brothers and even his mom and dad were bowing down to him. And they didn't like that either. And so they plotted to kill Joseph. And they got him out in the field and they're ready to kill him. And they end up, long story short, they don't kill him. They end up selling him to some merchants that were headed into Egypt. And they sold him away. And then they took his coat, which they knew the father was precious to the father, and they killed an animal and they smeared some animal blood on the coat and they took it back to the father and said, Joseph must, we found this coat all bloodied. He must have been devoured by a wild animal. And of course, Jacob is heartbroken and thinking his son is dead. And Joseph ends up in Egypt, and I could spend a long time talking about all of that, but ultimately, he finds himself the number two guy in Egypt. The whole kingdom is at his disposal. And there's a great famine comes in the land. And guess who comes begging for mercy to Egypt? Joseph's 11 brothers. They come in and they don't recognize Joseph because it's been many years and he's now a grown man. And they're asking for him to be merciful and he is, by the way. Listen to what it says in Genesis 50. Joseph had every right to inflict pain on his brothers, to refuse them. He could have had them executed just like that. But here's what he did. Genesis 50, 19. But Joseph said to them, the brothers, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Man, Joseph had every right and every motive to seek revenge on these brothers who had cast him out. And yet, he showed mercy. God was equipping him for his purpose, and the purpose was the saving of many lives. God is equipping us, church, through the difficult times. Third thing, bad things happen because the world is not our home. You know, we do live in a broken world. Thank God this is not the end of the line. I've said it so many times, but it's worth repeating. I can tell when I do funerals, I can tell whether a family has Jesus or we're the ones that don't. It's just different. It's a whole different sort of grief. This world is not our home. Peter says, in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth 1 Corinthians 2, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I told this story in the early service. I'd heard this before. I don't know if it's true or if it's just a story, but if it's not true, it should be. There was an older lady, and she was coming to the end of her life, and she told her children that when I die, I want you to take a spoon and put it in my hands, and when you lay me in the casket, I want that spoon in my hands. And they were like, okay, Mom, we'll do that. Why do you want a spoon in your casket? She said, well, when I was a little girl, we didn't have much. But my mom, she would always manage at every meal, she'd have a little bit of something for dessert for us. And she said, as we were coming to the end of our meal, she would say, don't throw away your spoon, because I've got something special coming. There's something special coming. Save your spoon. And so this woman knew that there was something special coming, and she wanted to have her spoon with her. Church, we are a fallen people, broken people. We live in a fallen and broken world. Bad things do happen. But we have promises that we can trust. We have a Savior that we can trust. Jesus has overcome the brokenness of this world. He has overcome sin through the cross. And he's overcome death through his resurrection. And because of that, church, we have hope. I say this all the time when I'm doing funerals. We have hope, but hope has a name, Jesus. So if you would just bow your heads with me this morning. Perhaps there are some this morning that maybe even have gone to church for years, maybe even your whole lives, and you've really never got how much Jesus loves you, that you really have a Savior that loves you. Perhaps you've never really received him as your Lord and Savior. So I invite you in your own heart, just you and the Lord, to pray this prayer that I lead you through. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I realize that you alone are holy, and I'm not. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died for me and you rose again. I claim the grace and mercy and forgiveness that you won for me on the cross. I believe that you overcame death and you rose from the grave. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Change me from the inside out. Make me a new creation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, please don't leave this place without sharing that with me or with Billy. I think Billy may have mentioned this earlier, that we'll have folks down front to pray for you at the end of the service if you need prayer, and I will be out in the foyer. If you'll rise if you're able.
Sorrows like sea billows roll.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Church, that's good news. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.